Well, let's pray together before we look at those words. Lord God, we thank you for your presence with us. We thank you that you promise to be with us by your Spirit, no matter where we are. We thank you for your love, your compassion, and the hope we find in you. Amen. Well, I wonder if you've ever met one of your heroes, or spotted a celebrity, or been somewhere, seen somewhere preparing for a royal visit, or seen fans camped out to get the best view when the sportsperson, the singer, or the performer arrives. The robes might be swept, walls painted, red carpet rolled out. There is sometimes palpable excitement. Or if it's in everyday life, there might be a hesitancy to say something, not wanting to perhaps interrupt someone as you see them enjoying a nice meal with their family or trying to get on the train. Particularly around those who are very famous or important, there's an atmosphere that they perhaps have cultivated. In our passage today, we are thinking much bigger than a celebrity or a sportsperson or even a royal visitor. We're thinking about the wonder of knowing God. We see Moses talking with God, asking for his presence, asking to see his glory, and receiving more of God's self-revelation. In this series, we've seen God reveal himself as I am who I am, speaking of his existence, his eternal nature. God Almighty, the one with unique perspective and power. And last week, the Lord, our provider, the one in whom all our hopes and our need of salvation is met. Today, we're going to think about God's presence, his glory, his compassion. So come with me to Exodus 33. If you've got a Bible there, do turn and open it. And if you flick back just to the pages before, you'll see in those chapters where we are in the story of God and his people and the journey to the promised land. There has been rescue from Egypt. There has been deliverance from Pharaoh's army. God has provided for his people's needs, manna from heaven, water from the rock. God has showed people how to live well together in the world. He's given the Ten Commandments, and despite this provision and goodness shown by God and Moses' leadership in the previous chapter, we have the account of the worship of the golden calf. With Moses spending time in God's presence, the people become restless, unsettled. They want to worship something more tangible. We pick up this episode of Israel's history as the people have disobeyed God's ways. How will God respond? What can Moses say? Is there hope? Well, Exodus 33:12. You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. Throughout our reading today, did you notice how much talking Moses does and how much listening God does? The psychologist Sarah Savage observes, the experience of being listened to is so close to the experience of being loved as to be indistinguishable. In a moment of crisis, in a time of distress, Moses can talk to God and have a God who listens. So let's work through Moses' opening gambit. He says, you have been telling me, lead these people. Moses quotes God at God. Now, I'm not sure it is because he thinks God has forgotten. Rather, he wants to highlight the situation that he finds himself in. We could paraphrase and say, Lord, the task is like herding cats. Moses is finding this difficult. The people are all over the place. Moses continues, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. He's saying, without the Lord's presence and help, his guidance and support, his mighty arm and outstretched hand, the task will continue to be impossible. In order to lead, Moses knows that he needs God. It's not enough to rely on what has gone before, or even the skills that he has been given. Rather, there's an ongoing need for presence and power. Moses continues, you have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. Moses again reminding God of then the relationship that they enjoy, the closeness of knowing God's name, and that God has found favor with him. In his leadership, as he responds to God's call, since the burning bush meeting, I am who I am, Moses is walking with God. But that's not enough. Moses longs for, prays for more. He says, if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. There's a desire for more, to learn more of God's ways, more of his character and his purposes, to be known more and more by him, so that Moses may continue to live well in the world, and so that he might influence others for good too. And then Moses says, remember that this nation is your people. We're enjoying a view into this conversation, but even at a distance, and even in the moment of being in God's presence, Moses is very aware of the needs of other people, of the wider community, of God's people of Israel. He is not selfish in his relationship with God. So that is Moses' opening. I wonder how we might have begun a conversation with God. January is a month famous for good intentions. I wonder how you've done. Committing to exercise and then not quite managing. Deciding on a particular diet and then failing in week two. Moses shows a desire for more and a hope that the presence of God will continue to transform his everyday leadership and every member of his community. He doesn't say, Lord, I'll make more effort. He says, Lord, I need you. But perhaps we're tempted to think that because we've got a relationship with God, either because of a commitment that we made years ago or a particular experience, perhaps as a teenager, Moses' words should encourage us this morning to keep seeking God, to long for more of him. Moses appears to show trust in the God who will be present with his people, but he still pleads for that presence. In Victor Hamilton's words, Moses says to God, they need you much more than they need me. Israel and I need not only your present presence, but also your active presence. Be with us as we go on. There are times, aren't there, when we might be somewhere physically, but mentally, emotionally, we're somewhere else entirely. For the ongoing life of the people of God, there needs to be that connection. Yes, as they journey together physically, but also they need to journey together with God in their hearts and their minds. Well, how does God respond to Moses' pleading? In verse 14, you'll see, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Notice how direct, how simple. To Moses' many words, God speaks a few words, but communicate life and hope. Yet Moses still presses God to affirm his commitment to the wider people, as well as to Moses personally, in the following verses, in 15 to 17. I wonder if today, as you hear those words from Exodus 33, I will give you rest, your brain goes to Jesus' words. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. There is rest and hope as God is present with us. Next, to think about God's glory. A man ordered breakfast one morning at his hotel. He said, I want two eggs, one of them runny as water, and the other cooked hard enough to bounce. I want the toast burnt, the coffee cold, and the butter too hard to cut. We can't do that, sir, the waiter protested. Sure you can, the man replied. You served me that exact breakfast yesterday morning. Now, we might think that Moses is being demanding in Exodus 33, but he's not done. He's not stopped pleading with God. Verse 18, now show me your glory. The demand here brings into sharp focus who God is and what about God is important to Moses. God's glory is the revelation of his beauty and truth, his otherness, his godness. There is perhaps a feeling of glory here being reassured, manifested, the presence, the sign of Moses that he's been craving. And here, in God's response, we see that his name is tied together with his glory. Knowing God more, knowing his name, learning his character and his attributes, gives a sense of his gloriousness. Verse 19, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. This name is proclaimed, Yahweh, the Lord, a personal name that speaks of relationship. This revealing of glory is a revealing of who God is. His perfection, his goodness will be revealed, and his name proclaimed. The God Moses knew, the God we are invited to know, is one who is other. Other in perfect goodness. God is 100% God. So God's glory unveiled is too much for sinful, marred human beings. And Moses is not exactly a paragon of virtue. God says, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. God cares for Moses and protects him from the unveiled glory that will pass by. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. God promises to be with us. So this week, rather than praying for God to be with you, perhaps you might pray that you would be aware of God's presence and gain a glimpse of his glory, revealed and shown by his Spirit and seen in the face of Christ. Then lastly, God's compassion. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. now are coming up in the calendar, so one of my favourite times of the year. It's the Six Nations. And one of the things I love about the TV coverage is the referee's microphone. Not so much the referee's camera that they've started to introduce, but the microphone. Getting to listen in to the explanations, the warnings, the penalties given to the players. Bad behaviour is not ignored. The people of Israel have been disobedient, and Moses perhaps fears that God will remove his presence from them, and they will be attacked, they'll be destroyed as a people. They will not be able to flourish in the way that God wants them to. But rather than just arbitrarily applying punishment, God says, I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. God is sovereign. He will decide. Now, if we were God, we might not have been so forgiving. How easily do we demand that those who do wrong are punished? How easily we write off those who we don't see following God's ways? Part of God's glory is his mercy and compassion. Not deserved, but freely given as we trust in Christ. As the old prayer of humble access puts it, God, whose property is always to have mercy, approaching humbly, trusting in Jesus, not in ourselves, we are guaranteed to receive mercy and compassion. So this morning, how do the three themes we've looked at from this passage encourage and challenge us today for this week? Presence, glory, compassion. We know God's name, and his name gives access to his compassion, mercy, and glory. Jesus taught us to pray, Abba, Father. We receive the promise. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Where will you ask to be made more aware of God's presence? Are there things that you need to clear from your life that will help you to be more aware? Will you stand in prayer for others as Moses stood for the people, asking God to journey with others too? And can you rejoice in God's glory, his goodness and perfection, so that your everyday actions become a reflection of his ways? Might our trust in Jesus reassure us that we are known and loved, that we are forgiven in Christ, and therefore freed from condemnation and guilt, set free to offer hope and compassion to others. Let's pray. God of glory, would you hear us as we plead for more of you? More of you in each day of our lives, as we seek to follow you, as we seek to worship you, in the different roles and responsibilities that you've called us to, in the strangeness of our current situation. And would our seeking after your glory not be selfish, but would it cause us to be those who offer hope to a needy world? Amen.